joy, you know, when Ryan was talking this morning, even Pastor Marty was talking, you know, there was a time in my life, and I haven't always been transparent about this, but I went through a horrible divorce. For those people here who have walked through that, you know, they say that half of first marriages end in divorce. They say 70% of second marriages, and third are even worse. And I went through a horrible divorce after many, many, many years. And I honestly thought, I'm done with ministry. I love God, but I'm done with ministry. Matter of fact, one of my mentors told me, God cannot use you now because you're divorced. And I was willing to accept that. Lost everything that I had. All the material things that I possessed. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying it is what it is. And I didn't know that God can, out of the ashes of my life, God can give you beauty for your ashes and a garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. And when I met Joy some years ago, 6-7 years ago, I didn't know that she was the one that God was going to bring in my life. I wasn't looking. And God, at the time, I just knew her family. I didn't even know her. And then some years later, I got to know her better. But I never knew that God would bring her into my life. And she's an amazing wife, an amazing mother. She's brought to my life a balance of things that I never knew before. I didn't know some of the things that I know now. And we've worked very hard to try to keep our marriage united as one. I had a lot to learn about marriage and relationship. Matter of fact, that's one of the things Joy and I, we have made it our purpose. We study everything about marriage and relationship, but we study each other. And one of the things that now we want to do is we want to spend the rest of our lives helping couples and helping pre-married, helping married couples, so that way they can overcome the pitfalls that the devil has set out, the traps that he has set out for your marriages. Matter of fact, we're right in smack dab in the middle of a 2-year program to help married couples, and not just married couples, but relationships all around the world as God allows us to go different places. I mean, what's the sense of coming to church and being stirred but not being changed? What's the sense of coming to church, we get a nice feeling, but we go back to a living hell? And the closest relationships we have is with our spouses, with our children, people we work with. So we've had to learn a lot of things, and we're excited to be able to share those things as we continue to go forward. But she's been an amazing woman. I'll never forget the first time I even saw her. I saw pictures of her. She was in Haiti holding little dirty babies, little dirty black AIDS babies. And I said, who is this lady? You know, I didn't realize who she was at the time. And then eventually, as time passed, I had the opportunity of going to Haiti with her. And here's this little white woman. She's 5'2", from Canada. And we get to Port-au-Prince Airport in Haiti. And all of a sudden, all these people come swarming around her. They call her Madame Joie. Madame Joie! Madame Joie! They speak it in Creole. And Joy speaks perfect Creole. She learned the language because she had been there for so many years. And she goes back to them. And they're hugging and kissing and stuff. And then here's somebody else, some big guy, Madame Joie! Madame Joie! They're hugging. So I'm standing there. They don't know who I am. I'm just kind of standing there. And her team is coming and all the people. And they're coming. So I figure, you know what? I'll be the bodyguard because I hear they're kidnappers here. Pretty much everywhere I go outside of Western New York, I feel they're kidnappers. I'm just like scared of like that. So I'm playing like I'm Secret Service. You know, I'm Madame Joie's bodyguard. I'm watching. And all of a sudden, this guy comes over to me. And he looks at me because he sees I'm there. And so he speaks to me because he thinks I'm Haitian. Because he thinks I'm a Haitian that graduated the food program. But, I'm not Haitian. So he speaks to me in Creole. He goes, but he didn't realize I'm from Brooklyn. I don't know no Haitian. So I just looked at him and said, yabba dabba do, yabba dabba. But anyway, God has given me the best, and our hope and prayer for you and your relationships. I've had to I've had to make some apologies for relationships over the years. I'm in the middle now of some things that God is bringing back together. I said all that to say this, that for you, when you look at ashes are not just broken. You can't get crazy glue and put ashes back together again. Ashes means it's destroyed. Ashes means it's final. No human being can take ashes and make something out of ashes. If you break a chair, you can fix a chair. If you break a car, you can fix a car. You can't rebuild ashes. If anybody's ever had a fire in a house, I pray that you didn't and you don't. But if you ever had a fire, you can't rebuild ashes. You got to get new wood. You have to get new sheetrock. You have to get everything new and build it all over again. But if you're here today and your life has been in ashes, there's one person who can take your ashes, kiss it with his spirit, and give you beauty for your ashes and for your and garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. He did it for me. He did it for Ryan and Sam. He did it for Pastor Marnie and Patty. And he will do it for you. So would you welcome my wife, Joyce Slaughter? Come on, baby.
As it says in John 10:10, when it says the enemy comes to steal, kill, rob, and destroy, he doesn't wait till you're 20. He doesn't wait till you're 30. The moment you're born, the enemy comes in and starts to try to write your life for you. He tries to write your story of your life. And the moment you're born and take your first breath into this sinful world, the enemy comes along and he says, I'm out to get you. I see the gifts that lie within you. I see your potential. And he's on a journey to write the book of your life and destroy you. And many of you started out with life being destroyed from a little child. Many of you started out being abused and it wasn't even your fault. And many of you even today might be sitting here holding in things that have happened to you that are causing you deep pain. This morning, Pastor Marty has a blister on his foot and it pains. But you know, if you don't get that fluid out, that's just going to continue to pain and pain and pain inside of me, inside of you. No matter how much you reach out to God, if that doesn't come out, if the enemy in your life isn't exposed and released and brought out, it's going to cause consistent pain within your life. And the enemy wants you to keep silent and never expose the things you've gone through. And Joseph, if you read the story of Joseph in the Bible, when Joseph was a little young boy, he was a good kid. But his brothers got jealous right within his home. His abuse didn't happen outside of the home. It happened in his home. And he was a good kid. But jealousy happened in the home. And his brothers took him one day and they put him in a pit. And they sold him to the slaves as a slave. They sold him. They got rid of him. And from the pit, Joseph's life went to the prison. Again, sometimes we make some pretty bad mistakes and we mess up. And it causes us to suffer some consequences. But Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came to tempt Joseph, Joseph did the right thing. And resisted the temptation. He did the right thing. He still did what was right. And he ended up in the prison. And sometimes you can be going along, doing your best. You were that good little kid. You grew up. You tried to serve God. You tried in life. In life, you just tried to do your best. And you tried to make the right choices with all the knowledge you had at the time. And Joseph made the right choice and he ended up in prison. Why would God allow that? Why would God allow that? Have you ever said, God, why have you allowed this in my life? Why have I gone through this? But you know, Joseph, in the prison, it was in his prison time that gave him the character he needed to develop inside of him. He developed a great character, and his prison was the key to his promotion. And some of you have gone through a prison season in your life. Some of you are in a prison season now in your life. But in that prison season, even you might have got there by mistakes you made, or you might have got there even trying to do the right thing, and someone came, the enemy came, and he was your abuser, and you ended up somewhere where you didn't expect to be. But I promise you, in that season, as Joseph did, he still served God. He still did his best. He did his best for God, and he allowed God in that season to build great character within him. It's in those broken moments, you know, that Jesus' light can shine through you. He's building character. If you just relied on your own strength, as I said this morning, you would be like that beautiful clay vase with no holes in it, except a little one in the top. And if you put the light of Jesus in that perfect clay vase, a little bit of the light will shine out. But if you have that clay vase with broken pieces out of it and cracks, and it's not perfect, and it's half falling apart, and you put the light of Jesus in that vase, that light is going to shine out of those cracks and those holes, and it's going to make beautiful designs on the wall. And people are not going to see the clay vase anymore. They're going to see the light of Jesus. And it's Jesus that gives people hope. And it's Jesus that needs to shine through us. So sometimes we go through things as Joseph did. He went through that prison time, and God was building a great character in him. And one day, when he was least expecting it, God gave him a promotion, and he became a ruler and a leader. He even was a ruler over his abusers, and they had to come to him. And you know what I've done with my life? You know, I've made some pretty big messes. Some things I had no choice over. Some things happened in my life that I really didn't have control over. And some things I did that I did have control over, but I made mistakes because of the season I was in and the immaturity sometimes, and sometimes we do things. But you know what I've learned? The enemy wants you to keep silent. The enemy wants to isolate you. The enemy wants to keep you holding in that fluid like a blister, or the pus in a pimple or a boil. He wants you to keep that inside of you and not expose it and live with the pain and never release it because you're embarrassed, you're afraid. When you talk about it, you feel like failure. But you know what I like to do? Every time the enemy shoots a bullet at me and he tries to write the story of my life, I like to take that bullet and pick it up and put it in my sling, like David put that stone in his sling, and I throw it right back and kill a giant. And I say, devil, whatever you give to me, I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm going to use it as a tool to save souls. I'm not going to shut my mouth if I attempted suicide. I'm not going to shut my mouth if I got messed up on drugs. I'm not going to shut my mouth if I ended up a single mother with a teenage pregnancy. I'm not going to shut my mouth if I dropped out of high school. I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm going to take it and change my life and learn from it and grow from it. And I'm going to use it to slay the giants around me. And I'm going to save lives with that. Because when the enemy thinks he can have you and he shoots his bullets and they go nowhere but they stick in you, you're down. But when you say, I might be down, but I'm getting up again. And I'm going to use this, and you're going to see what this does. We're dealing with a woman right now who from the time she was a little girl was sexually abused by her daddy. And I don't know if I can say that in church, but you know what? Just take your mask off today. And you know what? All of her life, she went to church and sat with an abuser who tried to destroy her, and beside her was praising God. And she couldn't break the silence, and she didn't feel like God loved her. And Satan was trying to rewrite the story of her life and trying to throw her away for the last time. And one day I saw a post on her Facebook page, never knowing what she went through. Never knowing. And the post said, sometimes the things you are the most afraid to do are the things that if you do them are going to set you free. And weeks later, I got a phone call. And I'm telling you, that junk is coming out. 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 And God is producing a beautiful vessel, a broken vessel with holes, with cracks, with broken pieces. But when God gets finished with her and the pus comes out and the healing oil of Jesus comes in, I know where her life's going. I know where her life's going. Her prison is the key to her promotion. I have a friend, and I might have told this story before, but I have a friend who life smacked her. She was trying to do the right things, and she did make mistakes too. But when she was young, her husband walked out on her, and she was left with a bunch of little kids. And it was rough because, you know, you get your Job's friends. Friends come along to encourage you, and read the story of Job as your homework. Friends come along to discourage or to encourage you when you're down, when you're at the bottom, they come along. Many Christian friends come along. And by the time they leave your house, you feel worse than when they got there. It's like, why did they even bother? Now I feel even worse. Well, Job had friends like that too. And God wants to heal you and bring you through a lot of things, you know. And so I just encourage you this morning. Don't listen to Job's friends. Listen to Jesus. Jesus is rewriting the story of your life. You know, Satan might have started to write your book. But in the end, like Joseph, God has the finished plan. And my friend, she had to work 2 and 3 jobs, and friends, you know, sometimes they didn't say the right things. And she was struggling and struggling for years financially, feeling like, God, I'm not marriage material. Have you ever felt, maybe you're single and you feel, I'm just not marriage material. Nobody looks at me. I see some hands. I've been there. And you feel like you're a castaway. People around you are getting married. You know, you see other people's lives going along. Whatever your pain is, it might not be that. But, you know, she felt really cast down. Almost like set aside by God, like Joseph in the prison. And for 25 years, she struggled and struggled and struggled financially. Feeling lonely. Serving God, giving her best in church. But, you know, after church is over, you go home and you're just lonely. You feel all alone. You feel... The enemy comes into your room and tells you all the negative things. He speaks in your ear, discouraging you. And you just feel like everybody else's life is okay, but I'm lonely. I'm lonely inside because of my pain. And one day, out of nowhere, I got a message from her. And she said, you'll never guess what. And, you know, I messaged back. I'm like, what? Tell me. She said, I'm in a relationship with a beautiful man who his wife passed away, and he's asked me to marry him after all these years. And I was so delighted. She was so happy. She was so overjoyed. And they got married, and, you know, life was going on. She was enjoying this new relationship. And then I got a call one day that her husband got cancer, and in 2 months, he passed away. And I'm like, God, what? Why? why, God? And it wasn't long after that, we went to a service, and I had no idea she was going to be in the service. And we looked down, and Alvin had never met her, and we looked down in the crowd, and there was this woman just praising God with her face was glowing like a woman who's expecting a baby for the first time. Her face was just glowing, and she was worshiping God. And I looked, and I'm like, what? That's her. That's my friend. What am I going to say to her after the service? I don't even know what to say to her. How can I encourage her? But she looks like she's okay. There's this peace on her face. And after service, I went to talk to her, and I said, I don't even know what to say to you. I'm so sorry for your grief. And she said, it's okay. She said, I can't explain it, but I felt in a prison of loneliness for so long. And it's like God gave me this husband, and it showed me that God had never forgotten me. It showed me that I was marriage material. It showed me that in 10 months, God could take all the love I needed and missed for 25 years. And in 10 months, he filled my heart with 25 years of love. And I don't understand it, but I know my husband loved God with all his heart. And when he passed, I know he was looking forward to his promotion to eternity. And he was ready to go. And I don't understand it, but I know that God is not finished writing my story. And it gave me so much hope because it showed me that you can be in a prison for so long and have these things for so long. And in a heartbeat, God can come along and make up the time. You can lose money. You can lose material possessions. But God is the only one who can step back into your past and rewrite your life in a moment. And God does that for us. And after the funeral was said and done, something happened in her life. He had children, which were her stepchildren. And they came to her and they said, you know, we have good jobs. We're grown-ups. We have our own families. And we know how much you struggled all of your life. And we know how much our father loved you and how well you took care of him. And we want you to know that he left us an inheritance. And we want to give it to you to look after you. Talk about promotion. Talk about going from the pit to the prison to the heights of promotion where now you're looked after and you can just not have all those worries after all those years. See, Satan along the way tried to write her life. But God took over and is finishing her story. Because at the end of that verse where it says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The good news is at the end where Jesus says, but I, Jesus says to you today, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I encourage you today, if you're hiding pain from your past and you've never let it out, if you've never released that, it's got to come out before you can truly make space for Jesus to completely fill you up with his healing oil. And until that comes out, there's not enough room to let his healing oil flow through you. But sometimes we just hold it in, thinking we've got to stay in our pain and stay in our shame. And that, you know, yeah, I've come to Jesus, but this is all I'm good for. No, God has more for you today. God has much more for you today. He wants to take those bullets that the enemy has thrown at you, and he wants you to pick them up, and he wants you today to be a giant slayer. Amen? How many giant slayers do I have in the room? How many of you are going to say, whatever you throw at me, I'm going to pick it up. And I'm going to throw it right back. And you're going to see how many people come into the kingdom of God because of the bullet you threw at me. because I'm not taking it. You might have got me down once, but I'm getting back up. And I'm like David. I might not have a shield and a helmet and all the equipment, but I have God on my side, and I have stone. I have a stone. I have a sling, and I can put that in the sling. And with God on my side, he will bring me through every trial, through every tribulation, but not only me. I'm just a little David, but he's going to use me to slay giants in the world and bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you this morning. Keep encouraged. Whatever you're going through, never give up. Never get up. God has a plan for everyone's life. It's not by accident you're here this morning. God called you here this morning to release you and release you and promote you. Amen? Just give it to Jesus. Give your all to Jesus. God bless you.
In our last few moments, when you were talking, Joy, what I heard in my spirit, first of all, was you're very pretty. That was me talking. And then I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak to me to tell the people, today is the time to let your healing begin. Today. Here's what I heard, to tell the people to make a decision to let the healing begin. If you're like me, I get overwhelmed when I'm trying to do something new because I research things to death. I get so overwhelmed that sometimes I can never get started. When I started in music ministry 26 years ago, for a few years I heard the Lord speaking to my heart to launch out, but I didn't do it because I was trying to research it to death. And there is a place for that. But after a few years, I was so frustrated where I was, and it was not a bad place at all. That's the problem. It was really good where I was. But God wanted me to launch out into the unknown, and I was afraid of the unknown. But one day I made a decision that I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I launched out, and God began to meet me in those areas that I didn't even know existed. 26 years later, God has allowed us to travel around the world and sing about a God who's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think. And for you today, I don't know if it's in your finances. I don't know if it's in your health. I don't know all the answers to those things. I don't know if it's in your relationship. I don't know if it's in your sanity. Joy and I have been dealing with people who've gone through a lot of terrible things. I don't know why God has led us that direction. Maybe that's because, you know, we've been through some things, and maybe we can help speak a word of life into them that comes from above. But today, wherever you are in your life, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you face, but wherever you are in your life, an area needs a supernatural healing from God. I'm not saying that you're going to feel, you know, thunder and lightning. We don't need to feel it. If we feel it, it's a bonus. But I'm talking about making a decision today that whatever it takes to let the healing begin, let the healing begin. The Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will do that. But the Bible also says that God will raise up a standard. And the standard that we have today is that we unite our faith as a body of believers. We unite our hearts. Here at City Church, the phrase and the slogan is we do life together. No one stands alone in the body of Christ. No one faces life alone. We don't have to know each other personally, but we unite our faith as one body of believers so the healing can begin. So today, I speak over those today. There's a song that says, you deserve the glory and the honor as we lift our hands in worship, as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory, oh, and the honor as we lift our hands in worship. That's what we do. as we bless your holy name. This is who God is. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, oh. There is no one else like you. Pastor Marty, can I have 5 more minutes? Is that okay? Today, I wasn't going to do this because we're out of time. But I want every person that's in this place, you are making a decision. You don't know how. You don't know where. You don't have the skills. You don't even know, think you have the wisdom for it. But you want the healing to begin. Whatever that is, as I said before, it could be a relationship. It could be a decision that you have to make. Make the decision today to let the healing begin. You need a supernatural infusion in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, in your heart today to let the healing begin. Come out of your seat. Come on, let's stand. Just 5 minutes. We're going to unite our faith as one body of believer, and we're going to believe him to do only what God can do. For you are great. You do miracles. Oh, oh. There is no one else like you. Oh, oh, there is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Yeah, there is no one else. I've never even said this before. There's someone here this morning that you're about to lose your home. You're homeless. You're about to become homeless. I don't know who you are, or it seems like you're about to become homeless. And I don't know all the details of it. I don't have that whole clarity. But there's someone that has been in your heart. I don't know whether it's a government agency. I don't know whether it's a person. But you need to make a decision to go ahead. You're fearful. Go ahead and contact that person. That person may lead you to where you have to go. It may be an agency. I don't know what it is. But you know what it is in your heart and mind that you've been avoiding doing. But I need you to go ahead. I want you to go ahead and do that. Make that contact. Make a decision. So that way, the place that you think you're about to lose will be a place that you can continue to call home. Make that decision. There is, I feel in my spirit, there's a married couple here who it has been absolutely overwhelmingly bitter. It's been a terrible experience. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. I don't even know whose fault it is, but I know what it's like to walk through those kind of situations. But my prayer for you today, because you have children that's involved, and something happened, something broke it, something caused hardness of hearts inside of you. But I'm praying that where there is a heart of stone, that God will turn it to a heart of flesh. Make a decision today, whether it's counseling you need, whether you need to be able to take a few days away and have someone watch the children so that you can begin to talk to each other in a civil way and ask God to begin to bring healing in those situations. Make a decision today. I don't care what the enemy has said to you. He may have said it's done, it's finished. I know what that's about. I've been there. But for you, I hear God saying to you to make your decision to let the healing begin in your life today. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe it. In Jesus' name. You are great. You do miracles so great. Oh, there is no one else like you. Yeah, there is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one. And so, Lord, today we pray for all of those who have come up front. We believe in laying on hands, but we know it is not our hands that can perform the miracle. You work through hands. You work through words. You work through the word. You work through a smile. You work through a touch. You work. But God, we speak to the mountains that are in our lives today. And God, for many of us, I pray that you would renew our mind. Our minds have been limited by our experiences. And I pray that faith would arise in every heart and every soul. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Let it chase away the fear. God does not always chase our fears away, though. God gives us courage and boldness to walk through our fears. So God, I pray fresh courage. I pray holy boldness, Lord, to walk through every fear. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray today for those who have made this decision, those who have come, not that this altar is more holy than any other place, but it is an act of faith. And I pray that their step would be taken as an act of faith. And now, God, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to you, the one who knows us yet loves us. We look to you who transforms us from glory to glory and faith to faith and strength to strength. We look to you, yes, who gives beauty for ashes and a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing and will continue to do in our lives. We surrender our will. We surrender our mind. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our plans. We surrender our past. And we even surrender our future to you, Lord. So grant it right now, Lord, we ask. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, oh, there is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles. There is no one. There is no
one. Come on, aren't you thankful for the ministry that God has done here today? Why don't you all just take your seat just for 1 minute, because I want to do one more thing, okay, before we leave this morning. I want to sow into Elvin and Joy's life today. I want you to sow into it. And I just felt that when you sow into something that you receive, and the message that we received today was just so powerful. Don't you believe that? And then I want, Elvin, you have to do one more thing before you go. And I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe you, and I don't even know where Ryan is, but you're going to sing with all the kids up here this morning. Okay, kids? Kids? Oh, are they gone? They gone to do the car wash? That stinks. I see some of them. Paigey Wagner, I see you. You're not going yet. What other kids didn't make it out of here yet? Because you're going to come down and sing. Come on, Gabe, I see you ducking over there. Jay, Judah, come on up here real quick. Come on. I want the worship team to come up here. Ushers, come on down. Let's give to the Lord right now. Just sow into them. You can do it through the city church. God, thank you for what has taken place today. I pray your blessing over it. Lord, as we give, as we sow, use it for your glory and for your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ushers, go ahead. Make sure everybody gets an opportunity. Where are you, Alvin?